Our scripture this morning is taken from Matthew, the 5th chapter. This is a surprise to you because we've only been here for this is the 4th week. And after this, we've still got 4 more to go. But the reason is because Jesus said little things that meant a whole lot. And they were very, very special, and they're called the Beatitudes. And we are going through the Beatitudes and trying to really find lots of ways in which they apply to our lives. So Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 1 and 2, we start with that every Sunday because this really tells us what's going on. And then we go to the Beatitude of the week. This one is in verse 6. And then we have a reading from Psalm 42. These are from the New International Version. Both of these are. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." And then in Psalm 42, the psalmist says what he understood because he had lived around these so long. "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" And may the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and of our hearing it. Amen. Well, no two people are exactly alike. Nor have they ever been. Or will they ever be? Not even identical twins. I have an affirmation from the back row. Now, when they were young, we thought those two girls, and they dressed alike and all of that, we had a hard time telling them apart. But their mother and daddy didn't have a hard time telling them apart because they weren't exactly alike. And for most of us, we're not anywhere close to that being alike, but we're different from each other in many, many ways. We have different fingerprints. Everybody has their own fingerprint. Our eyes, our hair, our skin color, our heritage, our intelligence level, our personalities. These are different in this family here, in the city of Carbondale, all around the world. Not to mention height and weight. I'm not going to mention that. But we are all alike in that we get hungry, need some food to keep going. And we're all alike in the concept of thirst. Thirst is something that we basically have to quench, and often we have to quench our thirst. Well, Jesus, in his usual manner of simplifying that which was complicated, used this common illustration to express another basic spiritual truth, and that was the fourth way to receive the blessings of God, the fourth way to real happiness. Blessed, we say, and some versions say happy. Blessed or happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, if you read it too fast, or you have a quick response to the first 7 words there, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Well, that seems like maybe a strange statement. How could hunger and thirst make a person blessed or happy? So don't drop off after those first few words. Because you see, Jesus explained that the right kind of hunger and thirst leads to happiness. Jesus was saying, maybe he was actually asking something like, how much do you want righteousness? As much as a hungry person wants and tries to find food, as much as a thirsty person, a parched person wants, because his whole body is aching for it, wants water, then really without any hesitation, we've just sort of hesitated here, but without any hesitation, he established this certainty that if you are truly hungry and thirst for righteousness, you will be blessed. You'll be happy. So why are hunger and thirst a way to happiness? But you see, I can't ask that too quickly, or so quickly that I leave the key ingredient out. Did you hear my mistake? I asked, why are hunger and thirst a way to happiness? When I needed to ask, why is this hungering and thirsting for righteousness an essential way to experience the happiness that God gives? And so I'll say first, it is because of the things that those words, hunger and thirst, suggest. Just what do those words, hunger and thirst, suggest? Well, we're all aware in the English language that many words have multiple meanings. For instance, like the word cry. That can mean shed tears of sorrow. Or it can mean to call out loudly. Or it may be a way that you show your joy. So from one viewpoint or one meaning of the words hunger and thirst, what we might think of first is agony or bodily pain. But that's where you would have difficulty or you'd be confused if you just stop with those first seven words of Jesus in this fourth beatitude. Jesus, in quickly identifying what is the cause of, what is the making of you feel, of what you feel, hunger and thirst, these are easily identifiable sensations because they are familiar. They are frequent feelings. And Jesus is looking not at angry or agony or pain, but rather he's looking on the bright side of hunger and thirst. These two words, as Jesus is using them here, are words that suggest four positive things. They suggest life and health and growth and enjoyment. Life. You know, actually, as soon as any and all babies enter this world, they immediately begin to hunger and thirst. And for one reason, they're alive. And it's a spiritual fact. As soon as you are born into a new life, God's kingdom, you're born again, as Jesus plainly said, you are like that little baby just born in their Memorial Hospital, you begin to hunger and thirst. And your hunger, your thirst, when you're born again, is for the righteousness of God. That rough old, tough old fisherman, Peter, now he's in a writing apostle. He says in 1 Peter 2:2, he says, like newborn babies, crave the pure spiritual milk of the word so that by it you may grow up into your salvation. Now, don't ask me how I know this, but in West Texas, a normal mesquite tree requires about 55 gallons of water per day in the summertime. And native Texans say those trees use that much. They use 55 gallons. And so that's why so many of them are destroyed or gotten rid of by native Texans. The water is better used, they say, for grass. However, as soon as a mesquite tree stops consuming that water, it is dead to this world. Now, use that mesquite tree to draw this similarity. If you do not continue to hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will find that you have no spiritual life. It dies. But where there is a hunger, where there is a thirst, that inner yearning for more of God's goodness, you can know that you have the life Christ came to give. And this Christ kind of life always brings happiness. So the first of those four positive things that hunger and thirst suggest is life. And now the second of those two words suggest, the second word is health. A Christian who loves to worship with fellow believers, who has an appetite for Bible reading and study, who often offers a helping hand to those in need, who just can't get enough of God, will always receive a good report from the great physician on his or her spiritual health checkup. The physician says, "I see these ways you are always hungry and thirsty, seeking righteousness. And so my report, my diagnose is very good spiritual health." And you take the great physician, you take that great physician's diagnosis and report, and you who are spiritually healthy are blessed. You're happy. So it's life and health. And then the third thing that hunger and thirst suggest is growth. To hunger and thirst for righteousness means to acknowledge that hunger, feel that thirst, and so you go to eat and drink well spiritually. And when we regularly feast on the nourishment from God, we grow. And this is a time-tested and proven reality. As we grow, we hunger and thirst even more for the deeper and the noble things of God. The church at Corinth experienced delayed spiritual growth because they remained dissatisfied. They were at a standstill with the milk of God's word. And they were developing no more yearning appetite for the meat of the word. And so Paul, who cared so much about them, wrote to them, "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready." Paul loved those people in Christ. He kept up with them, and he found them to be stagnant, stuck in a spiritual childhood, not growing. They hadn't grown beyond being stuck on the bottle, just milk, not having enough hunger and thirst for life in the Spirit, he says, just satisfied in infancy. For people of God who have found life and health and growth, for people who have found life and health, growth stalls if your spiritual hunger and thirst diminish, or growth continues when hunger and thirst for God's righteousness is pulling you on, a happy and blessed follower of Christ. So life, health, growth are all suggested with the words that hunger and thirst gives us. And then number four, enjoyment. Eating was and still is something to be enjoyed. But a healthy appetite is essential to enjoy a meal. Have you ever sat down at the dinner table and the meal just didn't appeal to you? And so you just sort of pushed the food around on your plate. And then your mama looked over at you and she said, "What all mamas do at times like that, why aren't you eating?" And your way too short answer to her is, "I'm just not hungry." Mm-hmm. When you really should have answered, "I'm not wanting this food." When God shows you his righteousness, if you haven't developed a hunger for it, you won't find the blessing, you won't find the happiness that's there. But if you are hungry for righteousness, you will enjoy feasting on God's word. So as you slake your hunger by feasting on God's word, you will also enjoy Christian worship, You'll enjoy prayer. You'll enjoy the fellowship of the church. And as your hunger and thirst are being blessed by such spiritual fulfillment, you will find that you are satisfying your appetites and you will experience the Lord's happiness. These then are the four positive things that are given to you by God as blessings for you when you're hungry and thirsty for God's righteousness: life, health, growth, enjoyment. Now, I think Jesus has used the concept of hunger and thirst because these are sensations that we all have and we can identify with. And in that regard, we can learn from what we experience when we are counseled to seek righteousness. When you're hungry or thirsty, when you're hungry or thirsty for righteousness, you can learn a number of things that you might never learn otherwise. For instance, you probably learn things cannot satisfy. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus taught his followers, he taught us when he said, life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. The truth is, God alone meets our total needs. And this is where that the psalmist found that in Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? He just was so hungry. And God has placed an insatiable hunger and an insatiable thirst for him inside each one of us. When Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us, in John 14, he voiced a longing that is as old as humankind. Just what is this righteousness for which we are to hunger and thirst? Well, it's more than judicial justice. It's more than a rigid code of conduct. It is nothing less than goodness. And so our hunger and thirst for righteousness is a desire for our own goodness to keep on growing to be more like Christ. Paul said that he desired to be good. He desired to do what was good, but he couldn't carry it out. You see, he realized that he was not all he wanted to be, but he hungered for that, for righteousness. And he could only grow toward that through Christ in him. You see, we can know that if we desire for goodness to be found in us, we must yearn for it, hunger and thirst for it, and then our Heavenly Father will help us to grow toward it. You know, I'm glad Jesus didn't say that only those who are righteous would be blessed. Instead, he said those who hunger and thirst, those who desire to be righteous, are blessed. And when the desire for personal Christ-like goodness saturates us, happiness becomes reality. Well, let me ask you about this. And I want you to think about your answer. I want you to think if you could even answer this question. Who is really good? Who is really good? Well, Jesus asked that question, and he answered that question right away. He said, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Right. That's who is good. Amen. No one is happier than those who hunger and thirst to know the goodness, to know the righteousness of God more and more. And those of you who somewhat satisfy that hunger daily by reading more and more about God and His Word, by praying, by serving Him, you are the happy ones. You are the blessed ones. Jesus promised that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. He was talking about being filled with goodness in this life. He was reinforcing what the shepherd who became king had written 1,000 years before his Messiah came. That would be King David. He wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He makes me, he prepares me a table in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil, my cup overflows." And David wrote, "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life." Even more, Jesus was promising the filling full, the happiness and the blessing of entering into complete goodness in the life to come. And King David did that too at the end of Psalm 23. King David said, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You see, those who hunger will eat. Those who thirst will drink. All who have had righteousness as a goal of those hungers will then, in the house of the Lord, be full and satisfied. And they'll be seated at the banquet table in heaven, as is prophesied in Isaiah 25 and in Luke 14. This promise of the filling of God's goodness of the saints who have hungered and thirsted after righteousness is without any limitations. There are no provisions. It's just given. So do you hunger and thirst for more than this world offers? Jesus said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." That's a happy person. So are you hungry and thirsty? There's room for you at His banquet table today and tomorrow and forever. Amen.